Welcome to the Life Rediscovered podcast, where we talk about life, faith, and everything in between. I'm your host, Ryan Reevely, and I'm so glad to have you on this journey, and I hope that you enjoy the ride. Welcome back, everyone, to the Life Rediscovered podcast, where we talk about life, faith, and everything in between. Again, always good to have you with me as we kind of wrestle with things about faith and I hope you are always getting something out of these podcasts and I enjoy doing them. I enjoy sharing what I know and what I've learned along the way in my own journey with Jesus and my walk with Christ. And I'm just trying to get back into the swing of things because this podcast actually feels kind of odd because I feel like I haven't done it in a couple weeks, but I have because I pre-recorded a couple episodes before my wife and I left for Italy. We just got back last Friday as of this recording. And so we were gone for like 12 days. So it was a great vacation. We went to celebrate our 20th anniversary. Our anniversary is not till June. But June is way too busy for us to go anywhere. Her business picks up. Baseball season's in full swing, so we really can't go anywhere in June. So we decided to go in April before baseball season got started and before her business got into full swing. And so it feels kind of weird that I'm talking with you. I feel like I haven't done this in a couple of weeks, but I have because I made sure that I had two episodes recorded for the two Tuesdays that I would be gone in Italy. So I hope you enjoyed those last couple of episodes. And last week's episode kind of started this series of episodes going through the book of Philippians. And so I'm going to be sharing messages that I shared in church on those Sundays that we went through the book of Philippians, because I think there's a lot of stuff in Philippians that is relevant for us today. Because I think oftentimes we think that, oh, the Bible was written so long ago. How is it relevant to us? We don't understand some of the stuff that's in here. We don't understand the context. We don't understand the culture. We are not part of that culture and those contexts. But there is still there. Scripture says that the Word of God is living and active, and it's true because there's so much there that when you read it, you're like, oh, this totally makes sense. Because even Solomon, you know, it's interesting we talk about Solomon because Solomon, when I started this podcast, I started it based on messages through the book of Ecclesiastes, which was written by Solomon. And Solomon, you know, says in Ecclesiastes that there is nothing new under the sun, which is very true because everything has a tendency to come back around. I mean, you look at fashion, right? Fashion always has a tendency to come back around. My wife and I were walking around Italy and we saw some clothing and she's like, oh, I used to have that when I was in high school, you know, and it's very true. You know, things always do come back around. And so today we're going to talk about section of Philippians in Philippians chapter 1, where Paul talks about this idea of being unashamed. Paul was writing he wrote this letter while he was in prison. And what's interesting is when we went to Mamertine prison. Mamertine prison is where Peter and Paul were held when they were under arrest for sharing the gospel. Paul was put under arrest because he was causing quite the stir in the Roman provinces that he went to when he traveled the ancient world. So he appealed to Caesar, and so they brought him to Rome so that he could have an audience with Caesar to basically share the gospel with Caesar. And he had to wait there, in prison, under arrest. And so while he was there, he wrote letters, and this letter to the Philippians is one of those letters that he wrote while he was in prison. And so he talks about in this section being unashamed. And so what's interesting about this idea of being unashamed, I would hear this when I was younger, going to church and even in early on in ministry, being unashamed for the gospel and this idea of, you know, being bold for Jesus. And I think oftentimes we misconstrue what Paul was trying to say here. And I think we use the idea today to motivate ourselves as Christians to be bold in our witness for the gospel. And we should be bold, but we often misconstrue about being unashamed for the gospel by encouraging people to speak the gospel wherever we are, in whatever situation we are in. And what I mean by this is, I recently have seen these videos, and I think the first set of videos I saw was of a young man, probably in his early to mid-20s, and he's at the gym, and he stops doing his workout set to grab everyone's attention who is in this gym to share about his faith in Jesus, and he's just yelling it to the gym. Now, I am a gym person, and when I go to the gym, usually I go to group classes, but if I'm not in the group class, I'll go on the gym floor, and I have my AirPods in, and I'm listening to music, and I usually don't talk to anybody unless I see somebody that I already know, and we'll chat a little bit, but I'm not going to go and walk into this gym floor, get everybody's attention, interrupt what they're trying to do, because I know some of these people are there to get a workout in before they go to work or go do their errands or whatever they have to do. I'm not going to go and interrupt people and with, you know, on the gym floor and just yell about Jesus. Okay. Now I know that sounds weird because like, wait a minute, you're a pastor. Isn't that what you're supposed to be doing? Because I feel like when you share about the gospel, when you share about things like faith, you know, we always say like, don't talk about faith in politics. When you share about things like faith and what people believe in, you need to have like a captive audience. You need to have somebody who you're having like a one-on-one conversation with, or maybe just a small group setting, not going in where you don't really know anybody or you don't know most of the people there and just start yelling, because nobody's going to listen to you. And especially on the gym floor, people got their headphones on, they got their AirPods in. They're just trying to concentrate on working out. They're trying not to concentrate on not dropping heavy weight on themselves. And if you're just yelling, that's a very alarming. And it startles people, and it puts people in a situation where they feel awkward and uncomfortable, and so they're not going to listen to you. Then I saw another set of videos where a woman would go into public places like a grocery store or a department store or something like that. And she would say, like, can I have everybody's attention? And she would just start sharing about her faith. But really, she was doing it in a way where, you know, she's calling out people's sin. I'm just thinking to myself, like, I'm watching her going, who is actually listening to you? And then also, like, if there are people listening to you, do you think that it's really sinking in what you're saying? And are you speaking the language that they understand? And you may say, well, doesn't everybody speak English? Yes, and that's not what I necessarily mean. What I mean to say is, we have to communicate in ways that people are going to understand if we want it to be effective. And now, like recently, I've seen this kid who is about 13 or 14 years old, and he's going into like his school in the hallways during in between classes, restaurants, stores, all these kind of places. And he's like, hey, can I raise attention? Jesus loves you, and he died for you on the cross and rose again and all this stuff. And, you know, people are commenting like, oh, amen, keep going, you're so bold, this is great. But I am looking at this going, are people actually listening to you? Listening to you, and not just maybe listening to you, but are they actually hearing you? Is it sinking in what you're saying? And also, here's the other side of this coin for all these different examples I shared. They're doing this, videotaping themselves and posting it on their social media. So then I'm looking and going, okay, who is this about? Is this about Jesus or is it about you? And so I share those examples because I'm not trying to necessarily be overly critical of these people. And I get the motivation of why they're doing it. But I think we misconstrue this idea of being unashamed. And I think they are maybe coming from context where they've heard like, hey, you got to be unashamed of the gospel. You got to be bold for the gospel. And so they're doing so in a way where they feel like they're being bold for Jesus. But I don't know if that's necessarily the right approach. Because here's the thing. Paul talks about this idea in Philippians chapter 1. And, you know, he's writing to a church to encourage them. He's writing from prison. And this is what he says in verses 19 through 20. He says, "For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death." And so what's interesting is that when Paul used the word ashamed, he used the future passive indicative sense. Now, I know that's like, whoa, now we're talking about deep grammar. What this means is that Paul was looking forward to not being ashamed sometime in the future. So when we use the word ashamed in English, we usually refer to something we have done in the past that we are not proud of. When Paul used the Greek word for ashamed in this context, in this letter, he used the future tense to indicate something that he was looking forward to that hadn't happened yet. So this is a completely different context. What Paul meant was, because of Christ, he looked forward to the day when all of his labor would pay off and he would not stand ashamed before anyone, because the direction of his life would finally be justified. So a little bit different there. To follow Christ is not this one-time decision when you say a prayer at the altar and you're all set for the rest of your life. It is a change in direction of your life. And your life was going one way, and Jesus turned it around to go a completely different way. And I think that is where we sometimes miss the point of the gospel. We have made it a quick and easy decision, and Jesus never said that it was a quick and easy decision. And so, because the gospel is more about a lifestyle change rather than a one-time decision, we can look forward to the day when all of our labor for the gospel will pay off. Now, there's going to be times where we're going to have conversations with people about faith, and it's in those moments where we might get a little nervous about sharing what we believe in, because we might be afraid of what they're going to think, or that we might lose that relationship or whatever it is. But those are the times we do need to be unashamed of the gospel. We do need to be unashamed of Jesus, because Christ died for us on the cross and he has given us everything. He has brought us from death to life. He has brought us out of darkness into his wonderful light, and we shouldn't be ashamed of that. To be unashamed means to live this life in full confidence that following Jesus is the only life there is. It is to be confident knowing that we are following in the footsteps of those who have gone before us, and we are not on the wrong path. Because the day we look forward to is the day we get to see Jesus face to face, and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what Scripture tells us. And we should be encouraged by the fact that there have been those who have gone before us who have been unashamed of the gospel, and sometimes it cost them their very lives, like Paul. So it was very surreal to be in Rome and go into the prison cell where Paul was held. It was, as you can imagine it, a very dark, dank, low-ceiling stone cell that wasn't very big. And so I was just picturing what Paul was doing down there, like writing while being in chains, knowing that, and maybe he knew that he wasn't going to get out of those chains. Maybe he knew that this is where his road ended, his journey ended, in chains. And so it gives me encouragement to know that, okay, if I'm going to talk to somebody about my faith, and again, I'm not going to go into public places and start yelling and shouting, because especially in the day and age we live in, where people there, and I hate to go to this extreme, but it's true. There are crazy people out there who go into public places and start shooting. And so if I'm going to go into a place and start yelling at the top of my lungs about Jesus, these people may be frightened that I'm going to pull out a gun next because I'm a religious fanatic. And I don't want that to be the case. I want to have an audience who is captive, and not because I made them captives. See, there's the difference. When I see these videos of these people going into these public places, they're trying to make the audience captive. I just want the audience to choose to be captive. I want to show them respect, kindness, love, grace. I want to earn the right to talk to them. I want to earn the right to be unashamed of the gospel. I don't want to, just be yelling and screaming and making them listen to me, because they're not going to hear. You know, listening and hearing are two different things. We can hear a lot of things. I can hear the cars going by. I'm in my office at church, and I can hear the cars driving on the main road that we live on. And I can hear people talking in a crowd. But it's not going to sink in unless I actually listen to them. That's when you start picking up details of their conversation, gathering context of their conversation. And so if I'm going to talk to somebody about my faith, I want them to be a captive audience. I don't want them to just hear me. I want them to listen. Not forcing them to listen, but just listen. You know, something else that Paul talks about in this section of his letter is that there is this great tension that we face in life. Because living this life, it can be hard. It's challenging. It's stressful. It's full of anxiety. It's full of all kinds of things that we deal with. There's definitely good days and days to rejoice, but there's also days that are just like, man, I wish this day would just end. And some people go through so many struggles in life. And Paul did. Paul struggled with life because he went through a lot of hardships. He struggled in this tension of living for Christ here on this earth, but also like, man, if this life was just over, I could just be in the presence of Jesus and everything. I could be at rest. He wanted to be with Christ because he knew to be in the presence of Christ, of Jesus, was better by far, but he also knew that he needed to be here for churches like this Philippian church so that he could continue to encourage and teach them. See, Paul's goal in life was the gospel. That's it. That was his goal. He wanted to share the gospel as much as he could. And so in Philippians 1:21, he says this: for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And then he says in verse 22, if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. In verse 23, he said, I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. And then verse 24, he says, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. That's such a great perspective, because Paul wanted to be in the presence of Jesus because he had devoted his life to serving Christ, and he just wanted to be in the presence of Jesus. But then he also knew, I still have breath in my lungs. I still have ministry to do. I still have people to serve. I still have the gospel to spread. You know, the thing about the world we live in is, how often do we think that way? You know, if you're listening to this, you're a follower of Jesus, how often do you think that, okay, I want to be with Jesus, but I still have stuff, still work to do here? There was a guy in my church years ago. His name was Everett Smith. Everett was such an interesting guy. He was a World War II vet. He was a ball turret gunner on the Flying Fortresses. It was crazy. But he would talk about, you know, when I knew him, he was older. I mean, he was not that far away from leaving this life behind. And he would just talk about, often whenever we'd have conversations, he's like, you know, I obviously the Lord still has work for me to do because I'm still here. Even after his wife died, and his wife was a sweet, sweet person. He's like, you know, he longed to be with her in the presence of Jesus, but he also knew, like, I'm still here, so the Lord has stuff for me to do. And I always thought that was such a great perspective, because in our modern world, we do whatever we can to hold on to this life. We go through procedures, medical treatments, take pills, all kinds of stuff to hold on to the lure of youth in this life. And we want to avoid death at all cost. But if you're a follower of Jesus, death is not the end. It's just the beginning. And if you still have breath in your lungs, if you're still here breathing and still able to speak, or if you're not able to speak, if you're able to write or communicate in some way, you can devote that energy that you have, even if it's waning, even if it's leaving quickly, you can devote that energy you have to being unashamed for the gospel. You can devote that energy to sharing about your faith. Because we shouldn't focus on death, because death is gain, as Paul said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Death is not an end, a beginning. So while we're here, Christ should be our life. So when it comes to being unashamed, okay, here's my encouragement. Here's my thoughts on this. Make your circle smaller. Don't think you have to have this big circle. Don't think you have to have this large audience. Make your circle smaller. Who do you interact with at all, you know, on a regular basis? Do you go to the store at a certain time? Do you visit the, go to the library at a certain time? Do you know, do you go to the same coffee shop and see the same baristas? Those are your circles of influence. Those are the people that you can interact with, build relationships with, have a, that's your audience. And then you can start praying for those opportunities to share about your faith, to have those conversations about faith and what they believe. And then know, like, even in the hardest days in this life, even in those days where you feel like you just want to give up, or you just wish like the Jesus would come back, or you just wish that, you know, this life would just be done, you still have breath in your lungs and you can still be used by the Lord to lead others to Him. And that's a glorious purpose. That's what it's all about. Because we want to try to take as many people with us to be in the presence of Jesus for eternity as possible. We can't save them, but we can share. We can share about our faith. We can share about what we believe in. And then the Holy Spirit can work. Then God can work in their hearts and lead them to Him. Well, thanks again for listening to this episode of the Life Rediscovered podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Next time, we'll dive further into the book of Philippians and see what Paul has to say and how we can apply those things to our own lives. If you haven't left a review for this podcast, please do so. I'd always appreciate that. And share this podcast with others. And if you haven't gotten the book about Psalm 23, The Loving Shepherd, you can pick it up on Amazon. I'd really appreciate that support as well. So I hope you have a good rest of your week. And until next time, see ya. Thank you so much for listening to Life Rediscovered. Make sure that you subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss a new episode. Also, if you'd like to support this podcast, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/Ryan Reevely. I would love your support. And again, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.